Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us once again this week right here on Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and later on in the show, we're going to look back at one of our favorite segments from this past school year. That'll be on the back end of the program. We're also going to get an update on the Great Park Sports Park Project. Don't forget, a year ago, we talked with Steve Churm with Five Point about what was going on in the city of Irvine, that great park being built out there, and we're going to get an update with Steve on what's been going on and all the great things that are have been added in the year since then. So we'll have that as well later on in the program. We want to start the show this week by welcoming in our guest, Luke Maxwell. He has a website, youcan'tbeerased.com, and he has a very interesting story to share with us today. Luke, want to welcome you into Catholic Sports View.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I read a little bit about your story. I know you spoke at Santa Margarita High School a few weeks back, and that's kind of where I saw your story. And as I read more about it, I thought, wow, I got to have this guy on the show, because I think this is a timely subject and stuff that we've been dealing with here in Southern California, as you know. But just give us a little bit of background about yourself and kind of how you got to the point where you're helping so many people.
So my story goes way back. I'm 21 now. And starting around the age of 12, I began to notice things weren't going well. I wasn't feeling well. And looking back, I can even see signs as far back as around 6, just being emotional, over the top emotional. But things really came crashing down around, I was about 12, is I really started to feel lonely, very feeling unloved, miserable. I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't focus on anything. My life just felt like it was spinning drastically out of control. The problem was I didn't say anything about it, so nobody knew. I hid it so well, and I isolated myself from everybody. And so as time went on, it just got worse and worse and worse, and I was trying desperately, trying to hold my life together, trying to fix it, and nothing I did worked. And so at 16 years old, I decided finally that this is it. My life is worthless, pointless. No one wants me around anyway. I can't get better. That's what I believed. And so at 16 years old, I took out my family 12-seater van, and at speeds of 60 miles per hour, I crashed head-on into another vehicle in an attempt to end my life. I survived. It was a miracle. There's no doubt about that. I survived with only a scratch on my arm, no other injury. I don't even have a scar or anything. And so to make a long story short, I went to an intensive program. I received therapy, medication. Of course, everyone knew now what was wrong. And I began my healing journey. And it was a long journey full of ups and downs, which I could spend, you know, the next week talking about.
Right.
But at the end, eventually, what it came to be is after about, you know, 10 months of intensive therapy, medication, and a ton of other healing methods, I came to a point where I said, you know what, I'm feeling better now. But now I realize that 1 in 4 of my peers were going through the exact same thing I was. I felt alone, and I knew from my experience that that's how they felt as well. And so I made a video and a blog, You Can't Be Erased. And that turned into now I've been speaking across the country. I was just speaking yesterday. I was speaking at a juvenile rehabilitation center, and, you know, to some boys who were just trying to get back on their feet, who were in the same place I was, because I suffer severe consequences of the law as well. And so I have a podcast. I've been interviewing people with all range of mental health experiences. And every single day I'm communicating with teens, parents, educators who are going through their own struggles or know someone who is. And so it's been quite a journey. It's been quite the journey. And I can't believe how far I've actually come.
Yeah, it really is amazing. Again, we want to mention the website, youcan'tbeerased.com. That's you, the letter U, can'tbeerased.com. You know, we invite people to visit it and learn more about it after we finish up with the interview here. But, you know, one thing I heard you say was, you know, you didn't talk about it. You know, you didn't reach out. It's easy for somebody else to say, hey, why didn't you talk to me? Why didn't you say something? I would have helped. But I think what we don't realize sometimes is people are not able sometimes to put it together to say, hey, how do I reach out and ask for help? I think that's probably, do you find that's one of the biggest things is people just don't know how to do that?
Yeah, and see, the problem is with that is that I didn't know what was going on. Like, I didn't know depression was just a medical illness.
Right.
Like, just like cancer, diabetes, but any other medical illness, it's the same thing. It's just in your mind, it's affecting your brain, actually affecting the chemical balance in your brain instead of affecting your body. So that's the big thing. I didn't know that. Once I found that out, I went, oh, like I'm a very logical person. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's just an illness? Oh, okay, that makes total sense. Right? I'm no longer ashamed of it. I don't feel like I'm weak or did something wrong. I just got this disease through my genetics. And so when I found that out, it released the floodgates. It was so much easier for me to talk. I mean, it still wasn't easy. I was still very depressed.
Right.
But it made it a lot easier for me to open up, to get help. And so that's one of my big messages, is that I have a lot of experience. I've helped a lot of people. And of course, in my own journey, I tried everything. And so what my main message is, look, if you're feeling this way, or you know someone who is feeling this way, like, it's just a medical disease. Like, that's it. Okay? It feels awful. It feels terrible. It feels like nobody loves you right now. I know how that feels. I lived through that for so many years. But I'm telling you right now that it's a medical disease like any other. And like any other disease, you wouldn't hide it. Like, I would say, like, even just like with a broken leg, you wouldn't hide it. Like, that makes no sense. Nobody would do that, right? You know you would just get worse. But we're not educated enough as a culture. You know, that's the same thing with mental illness, is that if you hide it and try to pretend it's not there, it's just going to get worse, is that you need help. And, yeah, so to talk to somebody, like, that's the first step in healing, is just to talk to somebody.
Luke Maxwell is joining us this week on the program, sharing us his very powerful story, attempted suicide at 16. Obviously survived. Thank God for that, because his mission now is he is a speaker and an author. We'll talk about his book in just a couple of minutes. You said you go out and you just spoke to a youth group. How many times now, and I'm sure it happens all the time, how many times do you have a kid come up to you and tell you their story, and it's the exact same story you've lived your life? How often does this happen now?
Every time. I mean, just at this group, there's 20 people at it, and three of them, and these are youth who have committed crimes that are now in juvenile hall and are now being rehabilitated. Three of them came up to me and said, yeah, I've been depressed, and now I'm, I want to turn my life around. I want to do something about it. And that's the saddest. And I mean, it was great. Like, these guys, they're absolutely great. You know, they were there because they wanted to turn their life around. But I mean, I see that. I think, if you hadn't been depressed, you probably wouldn't have been here. And that's like the big thing, is catching depression early, is talking about it early. And like I say, just like you give for parents, just like you give your kids the talk, it's so important also to give them a talk about mental health, because they won't get it anywhere else. But yeah, I hear my story so many times in so many, variations, of course. No one's story is absolutely the same, but seeing it in so many other people, it just reinforces my idea, my belief that, like, hey, look, we're all suffering together. Like, everyone has problems, and we need to be more open about them.
Yeah,
because nobody's life is perfect.
Yeah, it's so true. You're 100% right. Obviously, kids today, I think, have more pressures on them, I guess, is one way to put it, than maybe in the past. When I was growing up, as a kid, there was no social media. Obviously, social media is a factor today. Bullying seems to be a bigger issue maybe than it was. I think there was always bullying, but it seems to be a bigger issue today. I know you've probably done a lot of research into this as well, but are people more depressed today than they ever were?
Yes, as far as we can tell. So obviously, I can't tell you about, the 16th century. I don't know if people are more depressed. But the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, they release a bi-yearly, so every 2 years, they release a study on youth and the problems they're facing, basically. So they cover drugs, alcohol, sex, and then depression as well. And what we've seen so far is that there has been a rise in depression all the way up. So currently, there should be another study coming out next year, but currently the last study showed us that 29.9% of all high school age students are currently medically depressed, with 1 in 12 attempting suicide.
Wow.
So, like, it's risen. There's been, like, I think in a number of attempted suicide, I think it's fluctuated by, like, 0.01% slightly. But, yeah, so far we've seen a rise. And yeah, it has to do with the pressures, both the pressures in school, society-wise, through social media. And I've outright told some kids who talked to me, I said, look, delete Instagram right now. Because, like, it's not a bad thing in and of itself, but for you and your situation right now, it is definitely harming you. So, yes, I mean, we've seen a rise, and my goal is just to start bringing down that number, just one at a time. My saying, what I've kind of tried to live my life by, is it's, the goal isn't to be perfect today, it's to be better tomorrow. And I think if we can just take, if, you know, one, all it takes is one conversation. It takes one conversation with your kids, with your friends, you know, with somebody. And sometimes all it takes to save a life, to stop somebody from making that final decision.
Yeah, and I guess just talking with your friends, talking with your family members. Hey, how's everything going? Are you doing okay? I mean, by creating a dialogue, you may have somebody open up to you, and you're right. You may be able to get to these issues in time before something catastrophic happens.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, I know this seems ridiculous, but when I first started all of this 5 years ago, I received a message saying from a teenager who's probably about 14 or 15, who's obviously older now, but she told me that she saw in her Facebook feed that her friend liked my Facebook page, right? The smallest act you could possibly do in the modern age is like a Facebook page.
Right.
She has been feeling depressed for who knows how many years, suicidal, whole nine yards. She reached out to me and said, how do I get help? And now she talked to her parents, and she's getting help. The like of a Facebook page, that's what saves somebody's life. So, like, I'm all about small, you know, small gestures, small actions. Like, you don't have to dedicate your life to mental health in order to make a difference. Sometimes all it takes is sharing some kind of content. I have my ebook, right, which you mentioned. I have a symptom list on my website. I have a letter that teens can write, can print out and give to their parents because they're too scared to talk to them. And that letter has saved lives. That letter has been the bridge to open up to talk for parents and teens to communicate about it. So it sometimes it's just something really small that can have a huge impact.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have much more with Luke Maxwell as he continues to tell his story. And don't forget his website, youcan'tbeerased.com. Much more with Luke when we come back right here on Catholic Sports View. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View, and we pick up our interview with Luke Maxwell. The website is youcan'tbeerased.com. Luke, as he's been telling us in his story, attempted suicide at 16. Thank God survived that and has gone on now to be a speaker and an author and making a difference in the lives of others. Luke, thanks for joining us once again here on the program. Let's continue talking about your work and what you've done. Obviously, at one point in your life, you had this feeling of worthlessness, like you didn't matter. And now you matter to so many people. You certainly matter to that young lady you just mentioned and so many other potential people who will hear your story, will find your website. And so now it's come 180. Now you mean so much to people. Now you have so much self-worth, I imagine.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, like, that's just something that when you're depressed, especially when you're young and you don't have enough life experience to draw back on, is that when you're in that moment, when you're, you know, 12, 13 years old, and you can never imagine how drastically your life could change for the better. Like, when I was depressed, I thought my life was worthless, that I could never posit that I was only a negative impact on the world. And now what I've done has actually saved people from killing themselves. And I never could have imagined that. I still have trouble believing that I could do that. And so, like, that's the thing is that when you're in that moment, when you're in that state, you can't imagine that. You're just unable to. And so that's why I'm doing this. I mean, that's a huge reason why, is to be just a physical manifestation to prove to them that, yes, you can be at that lowest, darkest point that you could possibly be at, that anyone could possibly be at, is trying to end your life. But you can go so far up from that. And I'm living proof of that. So many others are living proof of that. And I try to showcase them when I can. But, yeah, like, that's my goal, is to just prove to people that this can happen to you as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, suicide's been in the news the last couple of weeks. A couple of high-profile celebrities who decided to end their lives, unfortunately, and that's brought it more to the forefront. I'm sure you know the story of Patrick Turner, the 16-year-old that played baseball at Corona Del Mar High School, and back in January decided to end his life and left a long series of notes. I don't know if that's common or if it's rare, the depths that he got into as far as what led him to make the decision to end his life, but really opened up a conversation about high school kids and the pressures on high school kids.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the story. I didn't know about the notes, though.
Yeah, apparently he had left several notes addressed to not only his parents, but talking about the pressures he was under as a student at the high school, and asking people to make changes, you know, to find ways to be nicer to one another, to find ways to maybe take some of that pressure off high school kids. And I think it really opened up this conversation of, you know, kind of what are we doing to our children now? What are we putting too much pressure on them? Are we not just letting them be kids at some level? I'm sure some of this is ringing a bell with the stories you're hearing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would tell you right now about 95% of the teens that I talk to, and by the way, also preteen, 12 years old is probably the biggest age, the largest age that people actually reach out to me is 12-year-olds.
Wow.
Which is something that I never would have believed if I had not been educated and learned. But when a 12-year-old comes up to you after a talk and shows you scars all up and down her arms, and ask how she can get rid of the scars, like that brings a reality to it. And that it's never too young to talk to your kids about mental health. It just never is. But most of the kids that I talk to are bullied and are under an unbelievable amount of stress. Sometimes, and the thing is that the stress isn't always ill means. Like it can be from parents who just want their kids to succeed, but don't realize that the pressure they're putting on them for them in particular is making these mental health problems worse. And I think that's where a lot of education needs to happen, is that well-meaning parents, right? Parents who are not meaning ill of their kids at all, who just want their kids to have a good life. I think a big part of education is knowing, is understanding mental health, understanding mental illness, what it actually is, and saying, oh, okay, if my son or daughter is going through this, then maybe we need to ease back the pressure a little bit. Because the most important thing when you're dealing with a severe mental illness is not what college you go to. It's whether you're alive or not. And I think that's the most important thing to remember, is that when you're dealing, and when you're in the moment too, like from experience, like when you're in that moment, nothing else matters. Like absolutely nothing else matters. It only matters if you're alive or not. And that's the thing to focus on. And then we can worry about everything else later. Because if you're not alive, then all that planning, all that other stuff was worthless.
Yeah, you're right. 100%. It's so true. Luke Maxwell is our guest. The website is youcan'terased.com, and his story is a powerful one, and I hope everybody out there is listening up. And you may not know somebody, or you may not think you know somebody who needs help, but maybe this story puts a little bookmark in the back of your mind, and maybe you see something later on. You recognize maybe some behaviors or something going on in a loved one or a friend, and maybe you can be an agent of change, maybe help out at some point. Obviously, you had to go through your healing process. I'm sure you're still going through that we speak. It's an ongoing thing, I'm sure, for you. But at what point did you decide, hey, maybe I can do some good with this? And at what point did it turn into the speaking and the book and all of that?
It's hard to nail down an exact date, but I remember the moment when I was talking to my parents, and they said something about, I remember it was my mom saying, she'd been watching a lot of videos from different people, different ages on YouTube. And she was like, it's something you might want to think about, is that reaching out and doing something, helping out. And I thought about it, and I really, we were careful about not putting too much pressure on me because I was like, this is not a good thing.
Right.
From a disease is putting too much pressure on them. But I decided, I was like, that is something I want to do. Like I've always liked helping people. That's always something that's always been in my mind, whatever business I start or whatever I do, it's always the focus is helping other people. And so I decided, let's make a video. And then so my brother and I, we bought a really cheap camera. He was like 14 or 15 at the time. And we filmed the video. It's up on YouTube. It's my most watched video. It went slightly viral. It's about 20,000 views. It gained it all in like 2 days or something.
Wow.
It was really weird. But yeah, it was really odd. I don't know where those views came from. I don't know what happened. It just happened. So, that's up on my YouTube channel. You can watch it. It's like 4 years old by now, I think, 4 or 5 years old. But yeah, haven't stopped. I just, you know, made another video yesterday, recording podcast episodes. And then it just kind of snowballed. I started a support group with the help of Cali Mental Health in the area I was in. I started a support group. And that was just something I really wanted to do. And then, you know, meet other teens like me who are in a place, you know, where I was, talk to them face to face. And then I just started, like, I started doing more interviews. Once my story started getting out, I started blogging more. I started writing more. And then I wrote, eventually, I just kind of compiled everything. I decided, like, because I needed something to send people, because I realized I was repeating information a lot to a lot of different people. I was like, you know what? I can just compile all this information into a book. And so what I did is I wrote an ebook. Not that long. It was about 30 pages. So I really made everything condensed. So that way, I don't do fluff in books. Like, I don't like that at all. So I made it exact steps, exactly what I did in order to recover. So I break it down into body, mind, and soul. And this is available for free on my website, by the way. So this is free on my website. You can access it, read it, download it, share it with your friends. And I just broke down body, mind, and soul. Okay, here's how I heal my body. Here's how I heal my mind. Here's how I healed my soul. And then just breaking it down very clear, very concise, showing exact steps that you can take in order to recover. And giving a variety of options. Like, I was just interviewing someone on my podcast who tried everything, who ran the gamut, who tried everything to heal, absolutely nothing worked. Every medication failed. Every therapist failed. Everything that she did failed. Until she tried one more thing. And that was the thing that helped her. After years of trying things. So, you know, it's every person is different. And so that's why I try to provide a variety of options. Say, look, try all of this. If it doesn't work, don't do it anymore. But yeah. If it does, keep doing it.
Yeah. Final couple of moments with Luke Maxwell here on Catholic Sports View. Survived a suicide attempt and has now taken his life. And I want to ask you that. Is this your life's work now to make this difference and do this? Is this what you want to do with your life?
Yeah, I mean, so you know, I have dedicated a good portion of my life. I mean, I am very active. I don't like sitting still. And so I've started, you know, I started a marketing firm with my business partner since then. I built out speaking courses to help other people share their story on stage. I haven't sat still by far. Like, I'm always trying new things. I'm always trying, you know, different things. And so definitely going to be part of my life forever. I definitely foresee that. Just because, like, the main reason is that every time I feel like I'm not doing any good, every time I feel like I should quit and stop. Every time, you know, I'm feeling depressed or over pressure, I receive an email. Like, just all the thought. Like, it's so uncanny how this happens. I'll receive an email from someone who says that my website or my talk changed their life. Like, it happens. No, without fail. And so that's the kind of thing that just keeps me going, is I see the ripples it's causing. I see the good that's causing. When a teen tells me, I heard your talk, I helped my friend stop cutting. Like, that's what I want to see. And when I do see that, it just keeps me going. Because I'm like, if it's going to keep on saving lives, of course I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Does God have a place in this? Does religion have a place in your life and in what you're doing?
Yeah. So I was raised Catholic, grew up Catholic. And yeah, I mean, the soul, it was definitely a part of, like I say, like healing body, mind, and soul. It took a while for me. You know, I had to really go through a lot of time. Healing my body and mind first so I could get to a place where I could heal my soul. But in fact, one of the most pivotal experiences I had, I went to a healing mass with my family. And that was skeptical. I'll admit it now. Like, I was very skeptical. I was, you know, the people were falling over. I thought, you know, okay. Of course, you know, God has a sense of humor. I walked up, the priest, you know, prayed over me, he put the wood of the cross against my forehead. I passed out, like, blacked out. And then I remember, like, I woke up, I don't know how long it was later, but eventually I woke up, my head was pounding, I was dizzy, I barely made it back to my pew and knelt down there until the church closed. And so, like, it was an experience like that, right, that I've been like, okay, wow, like, this is real. And then this is something that's really just propelled my life, you know, incorporating prayer into my life, you know, and / meditation, right, whatever you want to call it, just keeping my life balanced. And always remembering why I'm doing this is something that's very pivotal in my life.
Yeah, well, it's certainly making a difference. Luke, we want to thank you for coming on the show, sharing your story. We wish you luck in all your future endeavors. We're going to keep up with you, too, because I want to keep this discussion going here on our show, because I know the more you talk about it and the more you get it out in the open, the more somebody maybe has a chance to reach out and get helped. Want to thank you, and we'll have you back on real soon.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Luke. God bless. That's Luke Maxwell. The website, once again, is youcan'tbeerased.com. That's the letter youcan'tbeerased.com. Visit that. Get all the information. Even if you think, hey, I don't know anybody or I'm not dealing with this myself or whatever, you never know. You never know when somebody you love or somebody you care about or a friend might need some help. And if you have the information and the knowledge in your head already, it's already a head start towards maybe helping somebody out. Quick break right here on Catholic Sports View, and when we come back, much more. You're listening to Relevant Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We welcome in our next guest, the Executive Vice President of Public Relations with Five Point, and that is Steve Churm. Steve, thanks for coming on with us again and updating us on what's going on with the Great Park Sports Park.
Well, delighted to be here, Bob, and thank you very much for your continued interest in the project here in Irvine. We're very excited about it, and your interest always, always appreciated.
Our interest lies in, obviously, it being such a great project. I mean, we learned about this a year ago when Five Point set out the plan of what was going to happen. Obviously, we saw the soccer stadium open, a lot of the playing fields, and the vision became a reality, and we saw just how great this facility was going to be, and then turned out to be, and we still had a whole phase of it to go. Well, all that construction has been happening, right, in the time since. Now we're a year later, and we've got much more going on out there to update. Let us know what's going on out there and what has been completed.
Well, I think what is really just a special moment for not only Irvine but Orange County is just the entire complex itself. We were asked by the city of Irvine to build this for the city as part of our larger Great Park Neighborhoods project, 9,500 homes and several million square feet of commercial space. But we were asked to help build out the Great Park right in the heart of Irvine on the former El Toro Marine Corps Air Station, the former Marine Air Station base. And a year ago, we opened the first phase of the sports park, and now we're just about complete with the second phase. Once completed, this will be 194 acres, 2.5 times the size of Disneyland. A year ago, we opened or handed over to the city a 5,000-seat soccer stadium, 25 tennis courts, half dozen new soccer fields, a beach volleyball complex. Now, this summer, we will be completing, very excited, a 7-field baseball complex, including a championship stadium with 1,000 seats, a softball complex, 5 fields, a championship stadium with 500 seats, flex fields for lacrosse and rugby and cricket, another half dozen soccer fields, these synthetic, and a whole basketball complex. So this is really exciting. When done, it will be the largest multi-sport park, we believe, in California, and it's right in the middle of Orange County.
It's amazing. You know, one of the things that really struck me last year is, I guess it could be easy for a builder to come in and just write a check and just build something and, hey, it's done or whatever. But that's not what happened with Five Point here. I remember a year ago when the soccer stadium opened, your chairman and CEO, Emil Haddad, came out and talked, so eloquently about what this meant to the company. And there were so many people involved with Five Point out and being a part of it. And I thought that really showed, the commitment to wanting to put something really special for not only that neighborhood, but you're right, for the entirety of Orange County.
Well, we believe, and we are land developers with significant projects here in Orange County, obviously in Irvine, Los Angeles County, as well as San Francisco County, and the city of San Francisco as well. And we believe that to build a community, you must build the kinds of amenities, features, and attributes that connect people of all ages, all cultures, all incomes. And certainly this sports park is going to be a place where families will come, both for recreation as well as competitive sports. And we just think this is another way to bring people together to enjoy what is good and healthy about living in our region, and how lucky we are to have something like this. So it's very much a part of our DNA, not just to create homes and build them and move on, but to create lasting complexes and features that will serve generations to come.
Obviously, it's been a humongous undertaking to do this. When you look at how it's all come together, are you kind of, from our standpoint, I guess from the outside, it looks like it's come together pretty easily. I'm sure in the reality it hasn't been quite that way, but are you surprised with kind of the ease all this has kind of happened?
Well, we have good partners in the city of Irvine, a number of outside entities that helped guide us. We have built this now in about three and a half years. We have spent a considerable amount of money, somewhere north of $200 million on this complex. But again, it's what we wanted to do with the city of Irvine, to make sure that there was a facility, a venue, a complex like none other. And we really believe that these youth and collegiate facilities are second to none. And of course, the Orange County Soccer Club, the Division II professional team, they are, if you will, the AAA franchise for the new LA Football Club. The Orange County Soccer Club, they call the soccer stadium their home. And so we're seeing even professional sports here. So it's very exciting.
Steve Sherman's our guest, Executive Vice President of Public Relations with Five Point, and we're talking about the Great Park Sports Park and an update on what's been happening over the last couple of years now in getting this thing open and letting people enjoy what's going on out there. Obviously, I would think the feedback is obviously great. People are enjoying being out there and taking part in what is just so many fields out there. I mean, the sky's the limit.
Well, I think one of the real intended benefits has been to really enhance Irvine as a destination. The number of major tournaments, soccer, lacrosse, soon to be baseball, softball, that are coming to Irvine. And of course, this ultimately has a very significant economic benefit to the city. The Greater Irvine Chamber of Commerce really leveraging this to help fill area hotels, restaurants, retail locations as people come for multiple days to play in this park and really utilize these facilities. So not only is it a wonderful amenity for residents and a place to recreate and get outside, but it really is going to be driving significant tax dollars into the city. And that's a benefit for Irvine as well as the greater Irvine area. So that aspect of it, I think, is somewhat under the radar, but most important to this project.
Obviously, it's a unique project in the fact that this size of a parcel of land does not come open very often anywhere, much less in Southern California, where they're not making more land, as the old saying goes. I would like to think maybe projects like this could pop up more over the years, but this is kind of a unique opportunity, right?
Well, it's very unique. The former El Toro Marine Base was at one point about 5,000 acres. We're developing a couple thousand of those. And the rest has been dedicated to open space and so forth. But this is right in the heart of Irvine. This is right alongside the 133 and the five freeways, just a stone's throw away from the entire Irvine Spectrum area.
Just look for the orange balloon, right?
Yeah, just look for the great orange balloon. And generally, Bob, to your point, these kinds of ventures would take place out on the perimeter of Southern California, somewhere up in the Antelope Valley or out toward Beaumont or Banning, where you've got some open space. It is exceedingly rare to have an opportunity like this land right in the middle of a significant urban area, and that's what makes this so exciting and, I think, attractive.
So where are we now? Is the Great Park Sports Park, is it done, or are there still parts that are still yet to be released and opened up?
Well, once once we get to late summer, early fall, in terms of what we're building for the city, the Orange County and Great Park Sports Park will be largely completed. That's 194 acres. Obviously, as part of this entire Great Park, the Anaheim Ducks have their 270,000 square foot facility, four sheets of ice. We're not building that. That's a Ducks project, but that is literally a 5-minute walk from many of the sports fields we've built. So the Great Park Sports Park is truly becoming a destination for all types of sports in all seasons.
Well, and I remember when I saw the drawings for the soccer stadium and then obviously walking into it and just being in complete awe of it. I can't wait to now walk into the baseball and the softball facilities, because I know that baseball stadium, I saw it being built last year, and I know that's just got to be something special.
Absolutely. And we have chosen to build it to a level and a standard that you normally don't find in a facility like this. Obviously, difficult for a lot of municipalities to provide those finishing touches, and we think we have done just that. It is going to really be a highly sought after and desired location to really showcase both youth as well as collegiate baseball, and that's the same for the softball facilities as well. They are just gorgeous, and we're very proud of what we've done.
Well, athletics and youth sports is obviously huge in Southern California, and obviously Five Points' commitment to helping keep that going here in this area is second to none. What's next? What's next for you? What's next for Five Point in kind of helping even further what's going on with the entirety of the project?
Well, we're busy. Our builders have completed about 3,000 homes. We
Wow.
are on track to build ultimately about 9,500 homes, and we have the first phase of our commercial, about 1 million square feet now completed. So we still have some work to be done, and but we are really focused this summer on completing the sports park and making sure that gets to the city on time and ready for use by late summer. So it's a busy time for us, and we're just very thankful to be in the mix in a great county, a great community, and excited about the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for sure. Steve, want to thank you for coming on again, updating us on the project, what's going on. We look forward to getting out there and seeing it, and obviously we invite everybody to come out and be a part of the Great Park Sports Park. Thanks again. We appreciate it.
Great. Listen, Bob, thanks, and continued great success. You are really contributing to the quality of our community, and thanks always for your interest, okay?
I appreciate that. That means a lot. Thank you. I appreciate that, Steve. That is Steve Churm, Executive Vice President of Public Relations with Five Point, and that's an update on the Great Park Sports Park project going on in the city of Irvine. Get out there. Get involved with it, and get out and check it out. Another quick break right here on Catholic Sports U, and we'll be back right after this. You are listening to Relevant Radio. Catholic Sports View. Thanks again for joining us right here on Relevant Radio. I am Bob Gibson, and we're going to take an opportunity throughout this summer to look back at some of our favorite stories from the past school year, and that includes one we did with Rick Thompson, the head coach of esports at Modern Day High School. If you're not familiar with esports, you're going to be familiar with it really soon, because it's one of the fastest growing segments of things going on. It's obviously computer games and video games, but it's much more than that. There's competition going on now with these students. So many schools jumping on board. One of those schools is Modern Day High School, and we had a chance to talk with their head coach, Rick Thompson.
Coach, thanks for joining us this week right here on Catholic Sports View.
It's nice to be here.
Obviously, esports is not a traditional, sports. We're not talking about playing football, putting on the pads, those kind of things. But it still is playing, and it's a fascinating look at the video game industry and what's happening right now within video games. Tell us how this program got started here at Modern Day, and I know there's a bigger program, countywide as well.
Right. We can talk about kind of esports quickly. Some people ask where it should fall, whether it really is an academic program rather than a sport or a team. The thing is, it does share perhaps more in common with sports, because the skills needed are very, very much dexterity, coordination, timing, focus. these are skills generally associated with sports as opposed to, say, the chess team or something like that. There's also a huge communication element because these kids don't play on their own. They play on teams of five and against each other teams of five. And if you don't communicate well, your team struggles. So it's an e-sport. We call it e-sports for a reason. The program got started here this year, as did the countywide program. The Orange County Department of Education and UCI are jointly running it this first year. And the game they chose to run with in this first year is League of Legends. And so we have two League of Legends squads here at Mater Dei. We have a teacher, a general manager for each team, and then I'm the coordinator for the whole program.
You told me before you run the video game club here at Mater Dei. So I guess it was just a natural progression to take over this program as well?
Absolutely. The video game club essentially cobbled together enough interest for one team, and then some students who played independently also got interested in the program, and essentially we got a second team entered in the competition because of them. It's not really an A and B team, it turns out. They really are just two teams that work well or sometimes not so well together, depending on how things are going.
When you talk about the competition, you know, side of it, obviously you get a chance to play, I guess, you know, your classmates, but now it's a chance to get out and play other schools. So it really is a school versus school, you know, competition factor here.
Yeah, absolutely. The matches are scheduled for Wednesday afternoons, unless both teams agree to a reschedule, and we play other high schools. The only difference between this and normal sports is we are in our library playing, and they are on their campus playing. But then they are communicating with each other and essentially battling in a communal online environment all at the same time.
Rick Thompson joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. He is the coordinator of the esports program here at Mater Dei High School. And it's fascinating to me because, you know, we cover sports here. Well, you know, this really can be classified as a sport. I mean, do the kids involved in it feel like, you know, they're competing in a sport, maybe not as athletic as some other sports, but there is still a sporting aspect to it.
There's a sporting and heavily competitive aspect to it. They take it very seriously. We have practices. Mm-hmm. They have to come to practice. If they don't come to practice, they don't play. And also they have to be present. The same rules that apply for sports, we apply for this. So if they aren't at school, then they can't come to the practice or to the match. You have to be present. We do all the same things that we do. And I coached Mater Dei soccer last year. We still, you know, pray before and after games. We still are going to do a service project. We are a full sport, essentially. We've even been asked by the school to walk in the spring sports assembly, which is the big rally. And this is a Mater Dei rally. These are huge.
Right.
This is the rally when all the teams for that sport for that season – walk in. And so we've been asked to walk in it. So Mater Dei is taking it very seriously as well.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. What kind of skills does it take to be a good gamer?
First and foremost, experience in the game. Mm-hmm. There is a huge element of timing. There's a huge element of attention to detail. And then I mentioned this already, but the communication element is big. We have two teams. One team is half students from local middle schools and stuff like that, but then half our students actually international students from China, and the international students are spectacular. But you know, we haven't been winning every game yet because we haven't figured out the communication element of it. So communication is extremely important, and we find out as the weeks go by. We're now halfway through the regular season, that communication is just as important as the other skills.
Rick Thompson again joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week, the head of the esports team here at Mater Dei High School, also in charge of the video game club, which is how this kind of all got started. Speaking of getting started, you know, this league now around Orange County, I mean, I looked at the list and the number of schools involved is staggering now. Everybody seems to be jumping on board, and I'm sure there's more and more as we go on here, but how did the Orange County, education district, how did they decide, hey, this was something, you know, we kind of really need to pursue here?
Well, I think it was a lab at UCI or a group, mm-hmm. a research group at UCI that proposed the league idea. And UCI, I think they have a competitive team and they offer even scholarships for prominent esports players. So again, they're recruiting esports players, as are other schools. So I think they came to the Orange County Department of Education with a very solid proposal, and they got the partnership going as well with the game, the company that makes League of Legends, which is Riot Games over in Santa Monica. We actually we're visiting Riot Games later this month, just as a school. We're taking a group over there just to see how it all works. But that's how it got started here. It was really, I think, UCI coming to the Department of Education. And then they've run with it. The schools that are involved, there are a lot, but there's still a lot that haven't jumped in
right.
yet. In fact, we're the only private or Catholic high school involved. All, I think there's 26 schools in it. Every other school is a public or public charter. And so what we're hoping is the other some of the other Trinity League schools will jump in, because we always look forward to those rivalries that
sure.
have been along for so long.
You want to see Santa Margarita jump in and get that rivalry going on that level as well.
We absolutely do. And some of them have video game clubs,
right.
and so I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. You're right. As I said, it's growing probably as we speak. Do we see the corporate community obviously seeing this and ready to jump in and maybe support this community?
It's heavily sponsored this year by Riot. I imagine as they branch out, the league has indicated that though we're starting with the game League of Legends, which is made by mm-hmm. Riot Games this year, next year it could be multiple games and could be new games. It doesn't have to be League of Legends again. So I don't think those decisions have been made. There are very popular competing games. They may even get more corporate interest because if Riot's got their game at the high school
sure.
level, I'm sure the other makers are going to want their games in at the high school level as well.
Yeah, I see that as I'm sure is a big possibility down the line here. A lot of these tournaments, you can see they're televised. There's so many people that are part of putting on these big tournaments. Is this kind of the direction it's going? Are we going to see professional games? We're already seeing professional gamers, right? I mean, this is already a thing that's happening. Is this something that's just continuing to grow as we talk about it?
Yeah, I think that's where this is all headed. So first of all, there are a lot of professional gamers, huge followings around the world, just, you know, essentially within the community, mm-hmm. gaming community, just as famous as anywhere else and in any other sport. And I think it's only a matter of time before some of those top gamers get more general notoriety. As far as the professionalism of the game here, I do think with ESPN and various other sports outlets televising mm-hmm. Esports now, the more that happens, the more the game will be promoted at the college level, and it's already growing at the college level, and the more it'll grow down here. And here's the crazy thing that people don't realize is that because esports is so reliant on your skills, your eyesight, your reaction time, mm-hmm. Your dexterity, esports pros generally retire by their mid or late 20s. Esports pros go pro in their late teens
yeah.
or right as they turn 20. So our students here are closer to pro age than many of our athletes. And yet our athletes are thinking about mm-hmm. pro contracts already too. And so this is a good time for students to be playing this competitively.
Right.
And that's why I think one of the reasons why it's getting started.
When I was a kid, you know, my parents would tell me, stop watching TV, get outside and play. Now with the new generation, it's, hey, put down the tablet, put down the game, whatever, the Switch, all that. Put them down and get outside and play. But we're encouraging kids, right, to learn things, you know, from gaming and from this esports thing. I mean, what are things kids can learn from this and how can you make it a healthy thing?
That is a key element of this, because any time we start something like this, which is new and different, and especially since it goes against some of our common notions mm-hmm. of what a healthy time spent as a kid is, I think it's good to be clear about what is so positive about this. And first of all, there's nothing that can take the place of getting some good physical activity. And so there's nothing that should take the place of school and stuff like that. And what you'll find generally is that the students that are involved so far actually do have a pretty good balance. Many of them are very good students, and some of them have sports or martial arts or something like that outside of school. So you do need the balance. But as far as the learning goes, video games have always fascinated me because of how quickly people learn to play them. They are an education marvel. And the main reason is, the immediate feedback that you get when you do something wrong in a video game. When you do something wrong in a video game, you lose points, or you lose some life, or perhaps you fall down a hole or something like that. You have immediate feedback that you can then try again and correct. This is an education ideal. This is what we try to achieve in our other classes. This is what I try to achieve. I teach calculus and statistics. I want to give immediate feedback to students because that's when they learn the fastest. And that's what video games provide. So they're wonderful learning tools. And so as long as they're seen as learning tools, and as long as the team aspect of it is kept positive, and seen as a, you know, let's work together, let's build our discipline and stuff, then you get a lot of the same benefits that other, that sports and other things like it, other teams like it, can provide.
Yeah. Are you finding more students coming in, more interested as they learn more about it?
Yeah. So our matches are going, you know, they're being announced just as the other sports are. And so as students find out about it and the word mouth goes around, I'm getting lots of contact and emails. It looks like there's going to be a doubling or tripling of the program next year in terms of involvement.
Wow. And any buzz around that more schools are going to get on board with the league?
I haven't heard anything specific. This is kind of an aside, but the video game club, which is not the esports team, the video game club is hosting its first ever tournament, and we're hosting it on a small movie screen here, for another game that's very popular. We've reached out to some schools, and I do know that, for example, some of the Trinity League schools are interested in that sort of game. So I don't think it's going to be long before we see far beyond the involvement that we've got now.
Well, this is a fascinating area. We're going to keep up with it here, and we're going to watch it as I know it continues to grow. I want to thank you for joining us this week and talking to us, and I know we've just scratched the surface. We'll talk to you more. Rick Thompson, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I want to thank my guest this week, Steve Churm. With 5 Point, of course, we revisited our interview with Rick Thompson over at Modern Day. We hope you enjoyed learning a little bit more about esports as well. And, of course, Luke Maxwell. Once again, I want to remind you of the website, youcan'tbeerased.com. That's the letter U at the front. Go on his website, get the information. Maybe you can help somebody who's battling depression, who may need some help out there, who may be thinking about suicide. It's been so much in the news lately, so we want to get it out there to everybody and get that information out there. We thank Luke for coming on and sharing his story this week as well. If you want to drop us a line, CatholicSportsView@gmail.com. That's the way to reach us. And, of course, on social media, CatholicSV, that's @CatholicSV. That is our Twitter, and we're active on there. So give us a like on there as well and connect with us there as well. And OCCatholic.com/radio, that's where all the shows are archived on the podcast, and you can catch the replays right there. I am Bob Gibson. We thank you again for joining us right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. We'll see you next week.